Great job this morning, worship team. Good job, Bill. If you got your Bibles, you can turn to Exodus chapter 3. We'll be there in just a little bit. As a matter of fact, we're going to kind of move around in Scripture, and we're going to read several different ones this morning. As you can see, the sermon is entitled, God is Great, God is Good, All the Time. Most of us think God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food. But I believe that we were created for worship, even as the scriptures, or as the song that we just sang there. Now, before we kick off into the sermon and get going, I got a couple things I want to share with you this morning. Number one, I'm so glad you're here. Thanks for joining us on this fall break Sunday. But I got to tell you this, when I was sitting up here just a minute ago for the secret box, it just shows you where our world has gone to. I shared with the kiddos that when I was a kid, they had Capri Suns, and when I got back to my seat, I got fact-checked. Just like the president. I see Christy and Leslie, they were conferring and talking, and Leslie's already Googled it on her phone. She thought I was telling lies up here about being a kid and Capri Suns, and Christy said, they didn't have Capri Suns when you were a kid. And about that time, Leslie's reading down through her phone, and she says, yes, in 1981 they came out. I'll have you know I was 12. So just for what it's worth, being fact-checked, even as a preacher this morning. Man, what has the world come to? Before I jump into the sermon, though, I do have a piece of good news for you, an answered prayer. If you'll turn your attention to the screen, that is Sebastian and Kara Connor, and their two little daughters, Olivia and Sloan. If you are a part of our prayer ministry in the prayer room, you have been praying three things for a high school youth pastor. You've been praying that he would love Jesus. You've been praying that he would love high school students. And you've been praying that he'd be excited about being a Wildcat living in Madill, Oklahoma. I want you to know that guy right there is an answer to our prayer. He'll be here next Sunday. You'll get to hear his testimony. He'll be here in view of a call next Sunday. He had an opportunity over the last about 4, 5, 6 weeks. I've met with him several times. He got to meet with our personnel committee yesterday. He is just a spectacular guy. One of the things our high school students have been praying for is that we'd have a guy that had a good smile. And I think our prayers have been answered there. You guys are going to love him. He really is a neat guy, and Kara is spectacular. As is the case, I think, with all of your staff people, they're good guys and their wives are great gals. We've hit a home run again with Kara. And so you be praying for Sebastian and Kara this week as they prepare to make that move. And they'll be here in view of a call next week in our worship service. So they'll get to share testimony. You'll get to hear a little bit about their lives. But I'm excited for that. Good? All right, if you got your Bibles, open them up this morning. Yeah, you bet. We'll praise the Lord for that answered prayer. Absolutely. When I think about God is great, God is good, let us praise Him for each of us the way that God has made us to worship Him and to adore Him in the things we do. Bertrand Russell, who is kind of widely considered maybe one of the fathers of mathematics in 1910, 1912, and 1913, he, in three different stages, he published his magnum opus, if you will. His Principia Mathematica was the name of it. He assigned types and elements to all of the numbers in order that, to all of the mathematical entities, in order that he might be able to, from a logical standpoint, be able to prove out mathematical equations. When he took those types and those elements and he began to explain, this will tell you a little bit of how intelligent he was, but to prove through his mathematical, through his Principia Mathematica, the explanation of 1 plus 1 equals 2. It took 360 pages for him to be able to logically explain how that comes out. Now, I wouldn't even want to think about reading 360 pages of that. I'll just take it for granted that what they've always taught me in school, that 1 plus 1 equals 2 would fit. But there are certainly some difficult things that we each have to deal with. Like in a movie theater, which armrests are yours? On an airplane, who gets which of the armrests? Do you get both or you only get one? One of the things I'm perplexed by in our world is how salad costs as much as meat. I don't see that when you're in a restaurant. Think about describing colors. Could you describe a color without being able to show that color to somebody? If you were going to describe the taste of water, how would you describe it? We have those kind of things in our lives that probably most of us often don't think about, but we deal with, especially in the most difficult of some of our challenges, and that is to praise and to honor God. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, I've told you before, for me, when I pray each day for my quiet time, I use a simple acronym, A-C-T-S, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Supplication. Anybody else use that? Anybody else pray with A-C-T-S? That's the way I learned as a young Christian to pray, and so I still pray that way, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Supplication, that God would supply our needs. And for me, I do pretty good at the confession part. I always know where I need to confess. The thanksgiving is pretty simple. I have so many things in life to be thankful for. The supply part of it is really easy. I always got things I need God to take care of. But sometimes the adoration part gives me a little bit of a struggle. Even though that's what we were created for, to worship and adore God, to some extent that's still a difficult thing for me, and I think it probably is for different ones of us. So I thought this morning, when we think of adoration, so many times we get so grandiose that we miss out on all of the simple things and the small things that become big things in our lives. And so I have some pictures for you this morning for each of, when I think about God is great and God is good, let us praise Him. A picture that was taken early on and from NASA, but you can see the sun. It's taken from outer space. You can see the sun coming up over the earth. You just think about that, and if you were going to adore God for that, what would it be? Think about creation in 6 days, that He created everything you've ever seen or known. He did it in 6 days, and to a large extent, really in 6 seconds, because He just spoke it into being. But then the sunrise every day. Do you think about adoring Him for the sunrise or for the moon? The next one, I told you, it's one of my favorites. Of all the animals in the animal kingdom, a cheetah. Man, how spectacular are they that they're built to do what they're built to do? For us, can we adore Him that you are built the way that you are built? You should be able to. You know, out of 7 billion people on the face of the earth today, there's only one you. Now, there's big cats, but there's none like the cheetah. There's fast animals, but there's none like the cheetah. Probably most of you are familiar with a cheetah. Probably most of you are not familiar. Or the next one. Go ahead, just stay right there just a second. This is a wood duck. Go ahead back to the wood duck. It's fine. With a wood duck, they're fascinating to me. I think of all the ducks, they're the most beautiful. But look at the detail in it. You see all the different colors on his head and the feathers that run down the back and got the spots on the front. They're just spectacular. When you think about adoring God and all of the spectacular things that He created, most of us are familiar with cheetahs and we're familiar with ducks and maybe even familiar with wood ducks, but probably this next one you're not real familiar with. It's called a nudibranch. It's a really small little creature that you see when you scuba dive. Now, you cannot imagine the colors of a nudibranch. Look, there's one more for you to get to see. It's just spectacular how God makes them. When we get to see, as we move on through the pictures and you see all of the things that happen, one of the things that's magnificent when I think of adoring God is rainbows. The bad part is we as God's people have allowed our world to hijack God's symbol of His promises. Because most of us today, when we think of rainbows, we think of LGBTQ. I'm going to tell you, rainbows don't belong to them. Rainbows belong to us. A rainbow is God's promise that He gave to us that He'd never flood the world again. We should adore God for the promises, rainbows, not just rainbows themselves, but all the promises gives us that God gives to us. Next one. Next one. Go ahead, maybe. Yeah, there we go. Hey, water. You think about how essential it is to life. Ian caught me on the way in this morning and said, "Hey, we need to be praying for rain." Rain makes a lot of difference in our world, doesn't it? But it's pretty nice to drink when you're done exercising or when you're done working in the yard. Water does a lot of things. It doesn't just fill our thirst. It takes care of a lot of things and nourishes a lot of things. When you think about water, we just often take it for granted, whether we see it in a cup, in a bottle, or at the lake as we drive across the bridge. But you know what's spectacular? As I was thinking about this week, I was out praying and walking around City Lake one day, and God just drew my attention to the water. Now, you all know this. We know you can drink it, and it does a lot of things to replenish and help and all of those things that water does. But do you know how water's made? Right? H2, right? We know it's hydrogen and oxygen, right? That's something we all learned as kiddos. Do you stop and think about how much water there is in the lake or in your glass, and God just took two elements that you can't see or I can't see and puts them together that are gases and makes a liquid? Our God is pretty spectacular. But of all those things, there's one thing that God made that's even more special than all of them, and it's this right here. Maybe. There. It's us. Most of us haven't been in eighth grade science in a long time. Some of you have never been in eighth grade science. Some of you are in eighth grade science now. But our bodies are spectacular. When you think about our lungs, you think about our nerves, you think about our skeletons, you think about our digestive system, you think about our hearts and arteries. Everything about us is spectacular, and yet God put it all together. And when He got done, we are the only thing in all of creation that He said was very good. Now, when I think like that, I don't have near as much trouble figuring out how to adore God. When you think about how magnificent the creation is, how much more magnificent does the Creator have to be? This morning, real fast, we kind of walk through those, and we get to see some examples there just in things that we see in our life and in things that we sometimes take for granted. But the character traits that for us of God that enhance our adoration and worship of Him, the first one is this, I think, that's key for all of us. In the midst of cheetahs and wood ducks and nudibranchs and our bodies and in the solar system, don't lose sight of these three things I think that are key for us this morning. The first one is that He's the guarantor of I am. Now, that's kind of wordy, but here's what I want you to catch. When we describe God, most of the time, how do we describe Him? We think in terms of Jesus, right? And when we think in terms of Jesus, and that Jesus said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father, and we refer to Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, grammatically, that's important. Most of us don't think about it, but when we think in terms of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that's the King, capital K, of Kings, little k. We also think of God not only in terms of Jesus with King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but we think in terms of my Lord and Savior. But in Genesis, or in Exodus, when God called Moses to be the leader of His people and deliver them out of slavery in Egypt. In Exodus, when God spoke to Moses in the burning bush, if you remember, Moses was out on the countryside, out on the far side of the wilderness, and he saw a bush that was on fire, but the bush wasn't burning up, and so he thought, I better go over there and see what's going on. And so he goes over there, and God speaks to him out of the bush and says, hey, I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to tell Pharaoh to let My people go so that you can lead them out of slavery. And in verse 13 of Exodus chapter 3, it says this, then Moses asked God, which is really interesting because in verse 11, Moses asked God, what do I say to Pharaoh? Really not a big deal. And then he says, what do I say to the people? He said, then Moses asked God, if I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask, what is His name? What should I tell them? And God replied to Moses, I am who I am. In my Bible, that's all capital letters. I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. For wherever you are, when you struggle with that adoration side, or maybe you're down and you just can't think positive, think of the characteristics, think of the attributes of God, and one of them is God says, you remember this, I am. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of gives me a shot from 10,000 feet up. God didn't say, I will be, and God didn't say, I was. God said, I am. That's significant for us. We all know that, but sometimes we take it for granted, just like we take H2O for granted. The second characteristic that I think is significant for me, at least as I try to remember and as each day I try to do the thing that I was created for in my prayer time, to worship and adore God, not only do I remember that He is the guarantor of I am, but He is also the benefactor of gifts. Probably the most well-known of all Bible verses. You could quote it with me. Say it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, or shall have eternal life. We know that verse. Most people, if you've been around church much at all, you know it. If you've watched sports at all, you've seen the reference to it. You'll see them behind home plate holding it up, or behind the field goal post holding up a John 3:16 sign. We know that. One of the things I've shared with you before, I want you to see this on John 3:16. I've shared this with you before. It's from O.S. Hawkins. But for God, the greatest lover, so loved, the greatest degree, the world, the greatest act, that He gave, the greatest gift, His only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whoever, the greatest opportunity, believes, the greatest simplicity, in Him, the greatest attraction, should not perish, the greatest promise, but the greatest difference, have the greatest certainty, everlasting life, the greatest possession. When you see that many greats in one place, it just says to me that our God is a great gift giver. Now, so many times when we think of gifts, we miss the most important one, which obviously is John 3:16, which John 3:16 speaks of, that for God so loved the world that He gave what? His only begotten Son. Greatest gift ever given. From there, everything else is downhill. It doesn't mean everything else is bad. It just means nothing else quite measures up. But I got to tell you, in my life, it's amazing at the things that God's given me. God's given me a great family when I was growing up. God's given me a great family today, a great wife and great sons. It's amazing of all the things that we think that God gives us, but sometimes if we're not careful, we miss the H2O factor of what God gives us. Now, I'm grateful for Christy, and I'm grateful for Jansen Will, and I'm grateful that God's given me the opportunity to be the pastor at First Baptist Church, Medill, Oklahoma. But I got to tell you, I sure am grateful that He gives me forgiveness. Oh, man, am I grateful that He gives me grace. Whew. What would I do without mercy? You? I see some of you nodding your heads with me. When we think of the great gifts God gives us, we often think of tangible things. But if we stop and think about it, it's really the intangibles that God gives us that are the most spectacular. As Christ followers, we believe that God gives us great gifts, not only in Jesus, but we call them spiritual gifts. The Bible says that He gives each one of us at least a spiritual gift, something that we're good at, whether it is administration, or whether it's teaching, or whether it's preaching, or whether it's compassion, or whatever the case may be. But when we think through those things, those are spectacular. He gives us the fruits of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, I think, are spectacular places that we see. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Now, I got to tell you, when I read through that list, some of those he's given to me in greater abundance. But I'm grateful that he gives me all of those. And sometimes for us, sometimes for me, I struggle with the worship and the adoration side because it's a little more of the emotional side, and I'm not really wired that way. But the truth is, God wired all of us that way. We just have to work to be who he wants us to be. Just a couple of those simple reminders that as you are grateful for the gifts, the fact that God is a benefactor of those gifts that he's given to each of us, not only in the people in our lives and the situations in our lives and the blessings in our lives, but don't forget about those things that he gives us that are really important to us, like forgiveness and grace and mercy. Those are the things that are really significant to us. It's interesting when we think about being the benefactor of gifts. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." What you get paid for being good at sinning is death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift that God gives is eternal life. Did you know eternal life has already begun for you? You're in it now. I'm already an eternal being. For me, that makes me smile. For me, that helps me to be able to adore God as I think through those things. Not only do I think of God as the guarantor of I am and the benefactor of gifts, but the father of chances. Psalm chapter 103, verse 12 says this, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Now, I brought a little ball with me this morning, and I've used this analogy with you before, but I think it's so significant, and I think there's probably somebody or several somebodies here this morning that need to hear this. When we think about one of God's attributes that helps us adore him, it tells us in Psalm chapter 103 that one of those attributes is that God forgives as far as the east is from the west. Now, if you think of this little ball in terms of the earth, now you got to think when Psalms was written and what we knew about the earth at that time, everybody thought it was flat, so east and west made sense. North and south would have not made sense. They didn't realize that we were a ball. Right? You with me? But the Bible says that God forgives sin as far as the east is from the west. Why is that significant? Because if you leave out of Medill, and you've heard me say this before, if you leave out of here and head east to Kingston, and then you go to Durant, and you go across to Arkansas, and you go across to Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, you hit the Atlantic Ocean, and then you go around and go to Europe, and you go all the way around, and you come back in on the west coast of the United States on California, and you come across Nevada, and you come across Colorado and New Mexico, and across Texas, and back to Oklahoma, and you come in over by Altus, and then you keep coming along by Lawton, and then you keep coming all around, and you end up in Medill, and then you head off to Kingston, and you're still going what? East. East, 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 east. Now think about this. If we head north out of Medill to Oklahoma City, and then we go Kansas, Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, Canada, North Pole, when we get right up here and we start back, what direction are we going? South. It's simple science. You go all the way down, you hit the South Pole, and when you start back up, what are you going? North. It's significant for some of you to understand this today. Certainly you're a sinner. But God has forgiven us as far as the east is from the west, not as far as the north is from the south. North, south, north, south, east, 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 east. God's a God of chances. He's the father of chances. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." But the kicker to it is we have to confess that sin. You know why it's important that you have to confess your sin? Because God wants you to know that you're aware of it. You're not telling him something he didn't know. He wants to know that we're aware of the sin in our lives in the desire that we would change and seek after him and do that less. Now, I put that God is the father of chances. The reason I did that is because I think probably most of you are like me. Normally, when we talk about chances, we say what? That he's the father of second chances. I want you to know, usually I'm on my third, fourth, and fifth chance by about 8 a.m. I don't need a God of second chances. I need a God of multiple chances. And when I think of all the chances that God gives me to get it right, all the do-overs he gives me for getting it wrong, oh, it makes it easier to adore him. The last one, not only is he the guarantor of I am and the benefactor of gifts, the father of chances, but I believe this is important. He's the pinnacle of consistency. When you think of consistency, God's at the top. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 says, because I, Yahweh, have not changed, you descendants of Jacob have not been destroyed. I couldn't help as I was reading and studying this week to think of that verse. I think that's probably a verse that God would say to us. Because he has not changed, we as the United States have not been destroyed, because he's long-suffering and he's patient. If he were to change, I can see where he would not be long-suffering and patient with us. And with that, we would be destroyed. But God is consistent. James 1:17 says, every generous act and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. With him there is no variation or shadow cast by turning. Can I tell you this? The next time you're struggling about adoring God and worshiping him and praising him just on your own, I'm not talking about when we're at church singing. I'm talking about when you're on your own at home. When you wake up in the morning, before you go to bed at night, as you drive to work, you stop and think about the verse in the scriptures in James that says every good thing comes from above. And just try to think of a couple of the good things. You remember the song, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man who lies or a son of man who changes his mind. Does he speak and not act or promise and not fulfill? God is the pinnacle of consistency. When he promises, you can bank on it. God always comes through. Now, it may not be in your timing, but it is always in his timing. And so if you're asking for something for God to do that he's not doing, what you need to understand is in his timing. Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, the one who is, who was, and who is coming, the Almighty. Hey, I want you to know I can adore him just knowing that he lets me be on his team, and one of these days, we're going to win. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the capital letter at the first of the sentence, and the period at the end. That's God, complete. Lamentations 3:2 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. It's what I talked about in the secret box this morning. As much as we give love away, we get love back. As much as we give love away, love multiplies. But to that same extent, aren't you glad that God always, always, always loves you? I am. There's nothing like a father's love. And the reason that we say that is because the love that we have of our heavenly Father. He's immovable and steady, the pinnacle of consistency. If you're going to anchor to something, you want to anchor to something that doesn't wobble. You want to anchor to something that's steady. You want to anchor to something that's strong. God said, I'm so strong, I was there at the beginning, the Alpha. I'm so consistent, I'll be there at the end, the Omega. You want something to anchor to in life. When times are good that keep you from getting too proud of yourself. When times are bad that keep you from giving up. Anchor to me. Those are the things we know. Those are the things that we can adore God for. I got one more set of pictures I want you to see this morning. Squirrels. When you see squirrels, you think the same as I do. Do you see the squirrels in that picture? There's three. There's one over on the right by the sidewalk. There's one on the tree. And there's one just below the tree on the sidewalk. Two of them are easy to pick out because they're golden. Go to the next picture. Can you kind of see it right there in the shade on the cross ties? Go ahead to the next picture. Ah, there you can see him with a nut in his mouth. Let him see the next one. It's a pretty good one. Can you see him right there? Can you kill those lights back there, Toby? Or Austin, whoever's on those? Can you kill those where they can see that little squirrel? There we go. Perfect. Can you see that thing? It's golden. The next one? Bury in that nut. And the last one? That was as he ran by the window of my car. I was praying about the sermon this week. God, how do you want me to put that all together? How can I help it hit home to us? And on my way to the office one morning, I always come through the park down here. And there was three golden squirrels. Now, I've seen one golden squirrel there for a pretty good while, but this week I saw three. And I stopped and took pictures, and that little dude ran right by my window. And I got a picture of him on my phone. And I went back in an hour or so and found him over by the playground and took those other pictures. Now, golden squirrels are pretty impressive. You really should ease down by the park some morning and see if you can see them. But you know what's even more impressive to me? When we think cheetahs, we don't think Medill. When we think nudibranchs, we don't think Medill. When we think solar system, we don't think Medill. But I'm going to tell you, those golden squirrels were right down here about three blocks. And as much as we can praise and adore God for his creativity in our world, you know what's even more amazing? What's even more amazing is when you're working on a sermon and you pray and say, God, I just need you to show me how you want this to fit together. And he shows you golden squirrels on your way to work the next morning. That's pretty cool. I think you'll know this. I'm not a singer, but you can sing along with me. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all the world will see how great is our God. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. I want you to know, you were created to worship. God made you to adore him. And I want you to know this. Think of those important attributes when you can't figure out what about him is adorable. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the lesson in the scriptures this morning. Lord, we praise you for cheetahs and wood ducks, for nudibranchs and for water, and for our bodies, how spectacularly, amazingly miraculous they are. But dear Lord, we praise you for grace and for mercy, that you are the great I am, that you are a father of chances, that you are the pinnacle of consistency and that you are the benefactor of all good gifts. Lord, I pray that you would help us to remember those things as we go throughout this day and as we go throughout tomorrow and as we go throughout the rest of our lives. Lord, I just pray for those that are here this morning that maybe there's somebody here that needs to receive the gift of salvation, that today would be the day they would give their life to you. And maybe while there's some things they don't understand about it, they do know that you're speaking to them this morning and that you have a great gift to give them in Jesus. Lord, for others this morning who just need to trust in the calling you've put in their life and the direction you're leading them, that you are the great I Am, that you are the Alpha and the Omega. Lord, I pray for those here this morning who need a second chance or a 10,000th chance, that you'd help them to know you love them, that you haven't given up. And if they will just confess their sin, that you will be faithful and just to forgive them of their sin and cleanse them from all unrighteousness. And Lord, for those that are going through tough times, I pray that this morning they would understand that you're the pinnacle of consistency, that we can anchor to you to keep us from getting too high or too low, but that you're steady and immovable. Lord, for whatever it is we need, for whatever it is each individual person needs this morning, I pray that they would run to you. And I pray that you would draw them to yourself. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.